A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 24, 1991, in the series, The Sign of the Cross, The Way of Jesus, entitled, The Way That Leads to Peace. The scripture readings are Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 10, Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 16, and Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. The texts for the sermon are Zechariah 9, verse 10, and Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
I am surprised again with every new Palm Sunday how poignantly the message of this day points to the contemporary situation, to the condition of our world. How this ancient story seems to become contemporary with each succeeding year. Over the years, I could go back and recount for you some of the significant things that were going on in the world that seemed to be particularly open to the message of this day and the action of Jesus that we celebrate on this day. Palm Sunday has a way of focusing for me most sharply the contradiction of my life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the day in which I feel the gospel cut against the grain of my life in every aspect of it, frankly. It is the day in which the political implications of the gospel come to their clearest expression. The contrast between the ways of the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus announced and proclaimed, the kingdom whose ultimate issue is shalom, the peace of God for the whole world. Palm Sunday sets in stark contrast my life, my world, and the way of Jesus Christ. I'm always aware of that in Lent. We have been saying in this season that the way of Jesus is signed by a cross. That Jesus died the way he died because he lived the way he lived. And that to follow in the way of Jesus is to find one's life always before the possibility of crucifixion. But there's no other time like Palm Sunday when that becomes so overpowering for me, in which I feel the contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world, and the contrast between the way I live and the way that Jesus went. That contrast brought me last evening almost to an impasse, to a block. You'll be disappointed to know that I came unblocked. But I tell you honestly, I sat there and I struggled with what I heard the story say and everything else about my human existence. thinking about how contemporary is this message, this story. If the words of Jesus in the gospel lesson, as he stood on the crest of Olivet and overlooked the city of Jerusalem weeping, predicting the inevitability of the destruction of that city. If some three decades after he spoke those words, there had been a television camera there, the scenes that would have come to us would have been scenes very much like we've been seeing in the last couple of months, the last few weeks. It's Palm Sunday again. Our focus is on Jerusalem. We move into that environment of the Middle East where all of these dramatic redemptive events occurred. And the attention of our world in 1991, Palm Sunday, is also focused on the Middle East, focused on Jerusalem, the city whose name means vision of peace, focused on the conflict between Jerusalem, Israel, and the Palestinian, focused on Syria to the north and Assad, who is every bit as much a ruthless dictator as Saddam Hussein, focused on Iraq and what is happening there and what will happen, focusing on Iran and wondering if the unraveling of Iraq will lead to a new threat from Iran. All of that in the wake of the Gulf War being over, being so vividly clear that the peace has not been won, but that whole area continues to be a boiling cauldron of hostility, violence, destruction, human suffering, and death. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if only you knew the way that leads to peace, the things that bring peace. But now they're hid from your eyes, and they're going to come in, and they're going to lay a siege, and they're going to rip down your walls, and they're going to destroy you. And there will be not one stone left on another." And in 1991, we see that ruthless dictator continuing to use his own people as cannon fire in an impossible battle in order to maintain some kind of position and power in that power grab, in that unsettled area that seethes with unrest and threatens to blow up the whole world. 2,000 years and nothing changes. 2,000 years and we're at the same geographical location and we are struggling with the same kinds of threat. The violence, the war, the death, the suffering, the destructions, widows and orphans, hunger, poverty, sickness and disease. And I sat there last night thinking, I could talk about Palm Sunday for half a day. And there are all sorts of interesting aspects to the day. And we might talk about the emotions that were expressed and all of those things. But as a matter of fact, the thing that kept pressing in upon me was something that I didn't really want to tell you this morning because I don't know what good it does to tell you, and that is that the way of Jesus is the only way that that situation that was full of terror 2,000 years ago and is full of terror today is the only way that could change that. And I feel it so impossible to follow that way. Jesus lived out the only possibility for the transformation of the world. But everything in my life militates against my following him. I read a sentence last evening that snapped my head back. It said, on this day, Jesus voluntarily gave up power. And that is something that a king cannot do and remain a king. And I thought about my own life, well schooled in survival, well schooled in knowing how to get ahead. All of my training, all of my nurture, all of my instincts, they are to protect, to preserve, to prosper, to succeed. And not only my personal life, but the community of which I'm a part. And God have mercy upon us, the church as well. And of course, obviously, the nation in the international struggle for preeminence and power. Everything in my life, from my personal experience to the broadest international relationship to which I'm connected as an American citizen, everything is contradicted by the way of Jesus. And so, I think I felt last evening more blockage than I have than I can remember in a long, long time. Because to say that to you is to give you my absolutely honest understanding of the way in which the way of Jesus cuts against the grain of my life, my existence, my life with you, my life in this nation. And what good does it do? What good does it do for us, really, to think about that? Could it be possible that honestly confronting that gospel truth might somehow or other transform me or you, that it would make some difference in the world as Jesus made a difference? The way he lived led to the way he died. But his death was not the end, thank God. Thank God, he did make a difference. And he wept because he saw that his moving into that city would lead inevitably to his death. But I think he didn't really die. He didn't really weep at this point, at least, because he was going to die. But he wept because he knew that that attitude, that mindset, that human instinct for survival, that which would lead to his death, was also that which would lead to the destruction of the city. He could see that that which he was to encounter personally was that very thing that would lead to the destruction of Jerusalem in 3 short decades, but to the ongoing tragedy of human history. 2,000 years. And it was true before that, and it has been true ever since. And it is so poignant that in our own experience in these past few weeks, in that part of the world, it's still happening. Because there are not enough people in the world who are going Jesus' way. And when I think about that, I move toward a feeling of despair. And then I remind myself that despair never helped anybody. That despair is a lack of faith in the God who visited Jerusalem in Jesus. That despair figures that whatever is going to be within the limits of human potential and possibility. And then at such a time, I remember that I must somehow or other cast myself on the mercy of God, cast us all on the mercy of God, and pray somehow or other that as Jesus lived and therefore died but made a difference, we might be touched to some extent at least, if not to change the world, nonetheless, humbled in the presence of the way of Jesus, willing to be touched at least somewhat more by the cross, and thereby following the way of peace, make a difference in our world. I was encouraged as I remembered the story of André Trocmé. I mentioned him 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mentioned him over against Dietrich Bonhoeffer, both of them as disciples of Jesus, following Jesus' way, went 2 different ways, both of them costly ways. Bonhoeffer, you remember, implicated in the conspiracy to assassinate Hitler. Trocmé in the same situation, saying, I can't do that. But as a pastor in a French Reformed church, created a city of refuge for victims of the Holocaust, being responsible for saving thousands of lives. One engaged in violent action against oppression, one engaged in passive resistance as a pacifist. 2 positions, 2 Christians, and I thought about Trocmé and remembered that when he was a young lad of 15 or 16 in France, where the war was raging, the First World War, that must have been a terrible, terrible devastation at great human cost. He saw through his French village the trains go daily with bodies. And he saw one day when the transportation had failed the German army, he saw a column of soldiers wounded making their way back to Germany, and he saw 3 in a row, 1 wounded soldier, his head all bandaged, with a huge glop of gauze, as it were, here. And as they approached, he saw that the man's jaw had literally been torn off. And as he looked at that German wounded, severely stumbling, the hate he had felt for the Germans melted away. And he felt compassion for the man. And he began to hate the war that made people in that kind of terrible conflict. And out of that experience and others like it, he came to his own Christian position, which led him eventually to become a pastor, which inspired a congregation, which inspired a village to become a city of refuge. One day he was leading a Bible study in a men's group, and suddenly, without preparing to say this or even having consciously thought it before, he said, if Jesus really walked upon this earth, why do we keep treating him as if he were a disembodied, impossible, idealistic, ethical theory? If he was a real man, then the Sermon on the Mount was made for people on this earth. And if he existed, God has shown us in flesh and blood what goodness is for flesh and blood people. And Trocmé followed Jesus and eventually became an agent of reconciliation and peace, saving thousands of lives. Jesus made a difference. Changed the face of the earth. Trachme followed Jesus and made a difference. He saved thousands of lives. In a novel, Frederick Buechner tells the story of a monk named Brendan. Brendan, who spent his life out at sea trying to find the land of paradise, and finally coming back and encountering an old monk named Gildas, and they sat together with a third who narrates the story. And as the conversation was over, Gildas got up from the table, and Brendan noticed that he lacked one leg. And as Gildas hopped on his one leg, going for the corner where his walking stick was, he started to fall and would have fallen, except Brendan jumped up and grabbed him. And Gildas said, "I'm as crippled as the dark world. If it comes to that, which one of us isn't, my dear?" Brendan said. Gildas with but one leg. Brendan sure he'd misspent his whole life entirely. The truth of what Brendan said stopped all our mouths. We was cripples. All of us. For a moment or two, there was no sound but the bees. To lend each other a hand when we're falling, Brendan said. Perhaps that's the only work that matters in the end. To think about my life and the contradiction of the gospel over against the whole world leads me to despair. To hear the story of some who have responded to the way of Jesus and made a difference inspires me and gives me hope. And to face Palm Sunday once again in that spirit calls me so to live that I might make a difference, even if it's only to lend a hand to one who is falling. Because we is all cripples. All of us. God have mercy on us. Thank God the cross is not the last word. To be continued 1 week from today.